less natural, I suppose.
So when you say stiffness, what do you mean, Jeff?
Oh, steady on, steady on. Let's not start the day like that.
I thought it was the way all men started.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome from wherever you are joining us. Welcome one and all to the Host Unknown podcast, episode 139.
143.
God, come on, you were a bit slow there this morning, Andy. Anyway, yes, welcome.
I'm feeling really sluggish today, I'll be honest.
Well, you have like, been coughing and hawking all morning.
I know, I did try and insult you before the show started, and I couldn't think of what I was going to say, and I just sort of choked whilst trying to think of something. I think you even felt sorry for me as I was trying to get it out.
I know. Do you know what? This is going to be a very short show if neither of you are able to insult me. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, always a short show. We can insult you. We can always insult you. It's whether we're creative in insulting you. That's the
creative. Basically, it's old, and that's it. There's nothing else to it. That's all there is. That's all you've got on me.
Your birth certificate is written in Aramaic.
See? In stone. I know.
No, you're old. You're a fanboy of Apple.
That's not an insult.
Your mother listens to the show, so we have to be careful as to what we can actually divulge.
Still not an insult. Anyway, dear listeners, we hope you are well. It's a bit of a chilly week, isn't it? It's been a bit parky, a bit frosty in the mornings. And I think the net result of that is...
Is there a more British way you could open this thing? Oh, hello. Hello, listeners. Hello. The weather's been a bit down, hasn't it? Yes. It's been a bit of a chill in the air. Better wrap up.
So three British middle-aged men on a British podcast.
Steady on, right? There's like one old, one middle-aged, one young.
No,
don't try and band us all together.
Mental age doesn't count. We know you're middle-aged, Andy, because you're in the middle of a fad diet.
What fad diet? No. There's no fads going on.
There is no fad about it. See, if he was in the middle of a fad diet, I would say he could quit tomorrow and like bounce back within a month or so back to his former weight. That is not happening. I've got to say, we need to get pictures of the pictures Andy sent yesterday. We need to put them in the show notes because if you see transformation,
I'll put them in the tweet.
Unbelievable. Yes,
it is
amazing.
Positive,
what Photoshop can do, isn't it?
It's a positive glow up. I have to say, I felt moist. At the sight of the second picture, I have to say, he's hot, ladies. Any ladies out there? Andy,
hey,
I've always been hot, Tom.
I've always been hot.
You've just always been hot. Yeah, you hid it under layers of fat.
No,
I was kidnap resistant. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I have to say, I'll disagree with you. Surprisingly,
okay.
Tom. Because I think even before Andy lost the weight, he was actually cuter. He had this like panda look about him that made him
as opposed to the gaunt, hungry look he's got about him at the moment.
Yes, as opposed to the machinist look he's going for these days.
Yeah. Christian Bale-esque. He's going to start shouting at us now about being in his eye line on the podcast.
Oh dear.
Anyway, Jeff, how have you been this cold and chilly week?
My mortality has been catching up with me. I went to see the doctor last night, and things are not looking good. Actually, diabetic levels, borderline. Like you know, really, just like okay, this is the last chance I'm giving you, Mr. Malik. Sort yourself out, or we're going to put you on pills for diabetes, for blood pressure, for this, for that. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
So, listeners, if you'd like to apply for the role as Host Unknown Whipping Boy. then please do. We're going to have an opening quite soon, apparently.
Yes.
But, see, I used to go to the doctor trying to get pills, and they'd be like, look, there's nothing wrong with you. We're not prescribing you these antidepressants. You're not getting this Viagra. You're not getting this stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
And then you hit middle age and they're like, would you like some depressants and Viagra for that?
No, now Andy just like gets all this stuff from some dodgy guy on WhatsApp.
Allegedly.
Hey, who knows if it's a guy? It could be a woman for all I know.
Yes,
absolutely.
His profile picture's of a stock image of a woman, so it could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy, what about you?
Lots of stock images.
Nothing going on here. I think, you know, as everyone, I am feeling a bit under the weather this week. Whatever lurgy, which is strange because I, you know, am quite unsociable when I go to London. I wear a mask on the train. I don't speak to people. I, you know, make sure I've got a lot of space. So I don't know where I've picked it up from, but I have been. Bringing up some disgusting green stuff.
Pavement oysters, I think you called them before.
I did call them pavement oysters, yes. I was trying to be polite
image.
For the show.
It's a love. You're trying to be polite about hawking stuff out of your lungs and thought that pavement oysters would be too, what, crass?
Exactly, yeah. Full of pavement oysters is what I'll say. So, I'll move swiftly on. Tom, how's it? I know you went to a gig. You're like, we're trying to say that, you know, you are the oldest person by, you know, some distance, let's be fair. You're the one that's going out to all these gigs on school nights and socialising with the youngsters.
I was out at a party last weekend. I didn't get into bed until 4 o'clock on Sunday morning. Tuesday night I was out for dinner with some work colleagues. That was very nice. I was hosting that. Wednesday night I was hosting an event for the company in Moorgate. Was able to get some public speaking in. Had an absolute blast with that. And then yes, last night the Islington Scala went to see Squid, and it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I was supposed to take my son with me, but he's. He's in the middle of a major project at university, so he was on film set all week and unable to attend, which was a shame. So I got the T-shirt, I got the single, and it was, well, Squid, they're a Bristol band with strong links to Chippenham, which has got to be a good thing.
Never heard of them. I had to Google it last night.
You did, didn't you? You did.
I did.
The clue.
Never heard of that group.
The clue from the guy in the audience wearing the Squid hat, right?
Actually, I didn't even get that. I had to go back, scroll back up to Scala, and then look up who was playing that night at Scala. Figure out where you were, and then see who was playing that night. And I was surprised that they were sold out. So Scala must be a really small venue.
Yeah,
it is quite a small. It's not a massive venue, but that's, you know, and they're not a massive band either. But they're, you know, Radio 6 famous, and they're. They've been I missed them touring last year. I saw them the year before. They were the first gig I saw out of lockdown, and it was restricted seating as well. You had to sort of your little groups were sat, you know, almost like cabaret style, away from each other, and in a tiny venue. In fact, it was a pub venue where one of the band members' dad used to drink at, which is why they played there. But that was really well attended. They did two gigs in a row that night.
You're dealing with local
yeah,
bands.
Well, I mean, they're a lot bigger now, trust me. And, you know, they'll be all over the place. They'll be all over. You probably heard tracks by them and just didn't realise it was them. So it was brilliant.
Right.
It was brilliant.
Awesome.
So talking of damp squibs, shall we see what we've got coming up for you today? This Week in InfoSec talks about AI bettering the best of us. Rant of the Week reminds European citizens why they should be grateful for GDPR. Billy Big Balls is a bit of healthy competition. Industry News brings us the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world. And Tweet of the Week is China being effective. Okay, let's move on to our favourite part of the show. The part of the show that we like to call
This Week in InfoSec.
It is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account and further afield. And our first story shall take us back a mere 27 years ago to the year I was born, on 10th of February 1996, when Deep Blue 96. Defeated Kasparov. So this is the story that in the first game of a six-game match, IBM's Deep Blue chess computer defeated world champion Garry Kasparov. No computer had ever won a game against a world champion in chess. So Kasparov would eventually win the series 4-2, but would lose to Deep Blue in a rematch a year later. So all this recent talk of AI and ChatGPT and replacing people, it's been happening for a long time. AI has been smarter than us for a long time. We're just continuing to teach it to be smarter than us. And it's only going to end badly.
So isn't it funny how IBM has been in this space for longer than anyone? Yet, where's their market share?
Yeah. They realise they're making too much money producing, big, bulky servers that overheated. And I think, they use their AI stuff for, what was their stuff? The X series, was it, they did? Where, it knew when it was going to have a drive failure. So it would automatically order a new part, and you had to trust that it wasn't just screwing you. And it generally was having a drive failure, and the part would arrive before it actually failed.
Is that like really the HP suspect thing where it delivers ink before you run out?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you're getting screwed on this. You're just not entirely sure how they can justify it. But
and you can't risk ignoring it either.
Exactly. No. Yeah. That's the real danger.
Otherwise, you can't print your homework the next day. Oh no, no, that's HP again. Sorry.
Yeah, but alas, yeah.
About IBM, the IBM thing. That actually, one of the reasons why Kasparov did lose, in fact, that he even lost a couple of matches initially, but why he lost it ultimately.
Don't say something about something vibrating.
No, a bit of social engineering.
A
little bit of social engineering the sense that what the IBM engineers did was introduce random pauses before the Deep Blue made its move. And that random pause indicated it was thinking and acting like a human.
Brilliant.
Whereas actually it had made its move to human purposes instantaneously. So brilliant. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. In fact, that's a Graham Cluley tidbit.
Oh damn. No, but it's like what is that? It's like I saw this character on a show. They were playing poker, and they were explaining to their protege that you don't play your hand, you play the man across the table. Yeah. And it's like a lot of these things, it is a lot of psychological warfare at play there, so more than the actual moves. So I thought that's a really interesting tidbit. So Graham Cluley, like a broken clock, is correct at least twice a day.
Yeah. But that's why when you see international chess games and you get these grandmasters who are white, and so they're supposed to, as in they play the white pieces, they're supposed to go first, and the
quick
clock starts.
They're good.
And they don't even turn up for the first 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? They just leave their opponent there. Just even though their own clock is ticking down. Because it's a psychological advantage.
That's a Billy Big Balls move.
That is.
But alas, yep. I shall move us on to take us back a mere 23 years to around about the time of my seventh birthday, the 7th of February, the year 2000, when Dennis Michael Moran, a.k.a. Coolio, performed a smurf attack against Yahoo's routers, causing its website to be inaccessible for hours. And Yahoo was one of the big sites back in the year 2000, like, you know, one of the big four. And conversations on an IRC channel led to him being identified and convicted for a series of DDoS and website defacement crimes. And just a little fun fact to go with that is that Yahoo network engineer at the time, Jan B. Koum, stated that the attackers were above your average script kiddie and knew about our topology and planned this large-scale attack in advance. And Jan Koum is the billionaire co-founder of WhatsApp.
Really?
So, you know, those sort of random IT guys that support the network, they're the next billionaires. They've all got ideas. Don't dismiss them.
They do. They do. So did Coolio just, like, you know, say, see you when you get there?
Boom.
He hit him high.
No, he actually died of a drug overdose in April 2013.
Oh, well, that's a downer.
There's wow. Ain't no gangsters in paradise.
No, not getting it. Is that a Burt Bacharach?
It's not. Burt Bacharach.
He died recently.
This week. No, but that is a true story. Dennis Michael Moran did actually die April 14th, 2013.
Well, he's rolling with his homies now.
Yeah, drug overdose.
Thank you, Andy.
This week in InfoCert.
You're listening to the award-winning Host Unknown podcast, like a real security podcast, but lighter.
Right, let's get ranty.
Listen up!
Rant of the week.
It's time to motherfucking rage!
Well, what is a week if it isn't a week with something about Twitter in it? So, as we all know, as good European citizens, well, at least we were, at least, up until recently we were, but as good European citizens, we always knew that the GDPR Act gave us the ability to be digitally forgotten. We could contact companies and we could say, delete all our data. We don't want to be known by you anymore. You're going to have to start from scratch if you want to know anything
about us. Not just the ability, the legal right.
You're absolutely right. You're not just right, you're technically right, and that's the best type of right.
Best type of right.
Best type. So, as a European citizen, in fact, generally, and in many, many countries around the world, this is an accepted right, that you can ask to be forgotten. You can ask to have your data deleted. Well, let's think about Twitter. So Twitter's direct messaging capability is always a little bit contentious. It allows for private messages to be sent, you know, outside of the public Twitter stream between two people. It's been a little bit of a security liability. The direct messages you send to your friends and internet strangers are not in end-to-end encrypted, which means that those conversations are potentially accessible. So either by a data breach at Twitter's end, or company staff can access it either legitimately, possibly, or maliciously. So not great, not a great thing to overall, not a great way to, you know, to conduct anything that you don't wish to be discovered. Really not a massive problem up until round about the time Mr. Musk bought Twitter, fired half the staff, realised that the half of the staff he fired were probably still needed, but it was too late, and decided to just dig in and continue to try and get stuff done, even though nobody knew what the hell's going on. And everybody, even up until this week, is still describing Twitter as being just a dumpster fire moving from one dumpster fire to another dumpster fire. So not great, not great. You know, key security and data protection staff have departed. But with all of this laying off now, bottom line is, when you are asking to have your data deleted, Twitter aren't doing it. Twitter's response to these requests, which have been seen by the journalists at Wired, are basically ignoring continually ignoring detailed requests to delete DMs and just point people to generic guidance that doesn't explain whether Twitter deletes your data or not. So finally,
let's ignore it and hope they go away.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and thankfully, Europe's data regulators are getting involved. I'm sure our ICO is gearing up to savage them like a dead sheep as well. But it remains to be seen what's going to happen. But in related topics here, and not only is this absolutely freaking outrageous, that well-established, and it's been established for a number of years, it's not like this is a new thing, well-established legal frameworks that require companies to behave in a certain way are just being ignored, you know, through the cult of Musk as a result of it. And I've been reading it elsewhere as well, that Twitter's in Europe submitting regulatory paperwork its submissions are utterly incomplete because they simply don't have the correct staff on board to fulfill the stuff because they've been deleted. This is, as I keep saying, the beginning of the end of Twitter. I think they've lost nearly 10% of users overall globally since Musk took over. And as we were talking about just before the show, people who point out to Musk that he's not as popular as he used to be just get fired on the spot. Quite literally, it happened recently. Musk's Google engagement score went from 100 last year, which is the highest it could be, to 9, at which point Musk just said, "You're fired." Utterly bizarre.
Gotta love the American employment laws and protections people have.
And in another move, and I think it's in quite a telling move, as we know, many, many Twitter users, including all three of us, have created accounts on Mastodon, which has a very high character limit. I think it's a 4,000 character limit. Well, now Twitter are saying we're going beyond the traditional 240 character limit. I mean, it was a big step when they went from 280. They went from 140 to 280, and that was a big deal, right? Now they are also moving to 4,000 characters, but only if you pay for a Twitter blue checkmark. I mean, what kind of fool is going to be taken in by this and decide that they want to buy a blue Twitter checkmark just so they can listen to the sound of their own voice? I don't get it.
You basically want to publish a blog on a site that got famous for restricting characters to...
Yeah, that's right. We're going to copy this tiny little Mastodon instance and go to 4,000 characters, and you're going to pay us. You're going to pay us with your hard-earned money just for that privilege, just so you can expand your ego even further. Like I say,
a hypocrite, Tom, honestly. But go on.
Really? I don't believe I've bought Twitter Blue, have I?
No. But we've spoken about this in the past many times. And
have we?
Or it might have been...
In your mind, yeah.
No.
I know you dream about me a lot, so maybe it was
when
there.
When we have spoken about platforms like Facebook and Twitter and whatever other, social media platforms there are, we often said, like, you know, you are the data, you are the product, so wouldn't it be nice if there was a monthly subscription and then you weren't the product?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, I think what you're really mixing up here is Twitter the platform and Elon Musk the person, and you're allowing your hatred of Musk to cloud your judgment over what they're trying to do. I mean, Twitter laid off thousands of employees, and you're saying, and rightly so, you're saying that's a shit move. But so is Microsoft, so is Salesforce, so is Google, and all of them people get a free pass because they laid them off in a quote unquote recession or something.
But we're not talking about them.
I think it's the way they got laid off that's the issue.
And also, we're not talking about them. And also. Your data is still being subjected to exactly the same process it was before. You're not getting anything better or different than anybody else.
The man is making changes to the platform. He said, I'm going to buy it and fix it.
I've just worked it out.
Said, I'm going to I'm going to buy it and sort
it out. I just understand. You bought a Twitter checkmark, didn't you, Jeff?
I didn't buy a checkmark.
I bought Twitter blue. Jav is trying to justify and trying to.
He's part of the cult now. He has to explain why he's, it's
he's
a good
firing
deal
chaff and flares left and right, trying to avoid this. You know, or that sound you're hearing is you know the homing in of the fact. Onto his tailpipe at the moment.
He signed the NDA saying that he will defend Twitter's right to sell data and charge the blue tick box.
He did
become part of the cult in exchange for being able to publish 4,000 characters.
Piece together, okay. So the not deleting off DMs is a bug at the moment. It's an issue.
It's a legal failing. It's not a bug, it's a legal failing.
I mean, Twitter was never a bastion of like good code and production and everything prior to Musk taking over.
Oh, so they get a pass then.
So we can't make up like this is all Elon Musk's
fault. Okay, so it's badly coded, so it's okay.
It's not okay, but there are changes and improvements being made. And I think if you look at the big picture, I'm confident it'll become a really good platform. They've started talks about ad revenue sharing with creators.
Your $10 a month is going to turn them around. You know, you're joining the likes of, I don't know, Trump and all that lot. I think it's brilliant. I think we've seen this.
So I buy a service. I subscribe to a service that Trump subscribes to. So all of a sudden, me and Trump are the same. That's like saying you breathe oxygen.
I mean,
Boris Johnson. Therefore, you've turned just into Boris Johnson.
What can I say?
It's a hero of his.
You wear bad suits, and
the suits are good. They just fit badly on my body. There's a difference.
the best part about this is I also get to do this part. Rant of the week.
When listeners leave the Host Unknown podcast in favour of another security podcast, they raise the average IQ of both audiences. You're in good company with the award-winning Host Unknown podcast.
Right, we're going to move on to the Billy Big Balls with Jav. And I'm going to say, I'm going to take the high road here. I'm not going to attack Jav just for the sake of it. You know, if he wants to defend someone, that's absolutely fine.
One day I could be defending you, Tom. Just remember that.
So. Oh, God help me.
On Wednesday, Google held a highly anticipated press conference from Paris that did not deliver the decisive move against ChatGPT. That the Microsoft AI partnership that many pundits expected. Instead, it was pretty much a car crash. They ran through a collection of previously announced technologies in a low-key presentation that included losing a demonstration phone. The demo... The demo referenced many products that are still unavailable. Because I remember, do you remember like a couple of years ago, Google had this demo where they had this AI making a phone call and booking an appointment for you? And it sounded like a genuine... If you look it up, Google done this, it's like... they said like, hey, Google, book a hairdresser's appointment. And then they put them on speakerphone, and it was like it sounded like a human, complete with pauses and ums
and spoke to the human at the other end, didn't it?
That's right. And it said, has anything come of that since? No. Anyway, this demo, which referenced many products that are still unavailable, occurred just hours after someone noticed that Google's ad for its newly announced Bard large language model, what a stupid name, contained an error about the James Webb Space Telescope. So bear in mind, this is an ad that is pre-recorded. This isn't talking about a live demo. This is an ad that they pre-recorded and they pushed out without anyone noticing that there was an error. All they had to do was Google it. So,
oh,
Forbes,
the irony is just.
I was going to say, there's got to be someone sitting there just going, ironic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Forbes noticed this and they published it. And as a result, Google's stock price declined nearly 7%. Now, for those of you thinking, 7%, that's about $100 billion in value. That is huge bit of chunk change. And that's not the Billy Big Balls. The Billy Big Balls is Microsoft's Satya Nadella, who came out, not to, I suppose, kick a person when they're down, but did you know that Satya Nadella had that dog in him? He said, this new Bing will make Google come out and dance. And I want people to know that we made them dance. Nice. I suppose that's him tapping into some Bollywood routines right there.
That's a badass thing to say, isn't it?
That is.
That is brilliant.
But I think it's just such an incredible, like, obviously it's a bold, bold statement from Microsoft. I mean, considering the number of missteps they've had over the years, but Google seems really, really panicked at the moment. And we were talking
about
this just
before we
went.
They're on the ropes, I think. On the ropes is probably the wrong thing to say, but they're, what have they
come up
with?
Well, they're acting like they're on the ropes, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. What have they come up with? What's their big innovation? What's their big thing that's come out recently that they've come, you know, first to the table with? Or like that AI assistant promised and but in that case not delivered on. But they don't have much. You know, I think Microsoft have products. They have a product to sell, and, you know, physical products as well as software products. Whereas Google has ad revenue. And if that ad revenue just dries up, they're gone. You know, if Microsoft lose the search war, no big deal, a bit of a black eye, nothing else. If Google lose that, or if the market loses confidence in Google and the ad revenue drives up, it doesn't matter how good their search engine is, they're just not going to make any money.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly it. I think this is a real big shift. And I think Google have relied so heavily on their ad revenue. I mean, they've got Google Cloud and everything like that. But
yeah,
still,
yeah, you're right.
Ad revenue is such a big part of what they do. It's
like 90% of their revenue, isn't it? Something like that. It's a huge amount.
So even if they lose, so the thing is, like, if Microsoft quote unquote failed to take market share from Google, no one will really notice. Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's not a big thing. But even if Google lose 5% of market share, only 5% or something, to Microsoft, that will send a real, real big message to the markets. And I think that could be really impactful, detrimental towards Google. So, I'm glad we are sitting on the sidelines with popcorn.
We are. And in total agreement, I think, on this as well.
Of course.
You know. But I think what's really interesting is that what did the Google stocks go down by 7%, something like that, which is a huge amount. But when Twitter lose 9% of their users, you think that's not enough? That's not many, not much at all. Interesting. Anyway,
Billy Big Balls of the week. This is the podcast the king listens to, although he won't admit it.
Is it me or am I on fire this week? Anyway, shall we see what...
Go and see a doctor.
Yeah, only when you pee, yeah?
Hanging around all those young people in crowds at concerts and random...
Oh, I know. I'd say they were rubbing off on me, but you'd only take that in the wrong direction. It's just nice not to be attacked by Jav, just, you know, not have anything to come back with. Anyway, Andy, what time is it?
It is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Stalkerware developer hit with $400,000 fine.
Industry news.
Drugs labs busted after encrypted chat app takedown.
Industry news.
UK metal engineering firm
Vesuvius
hit by cyber attack.
I'll take that out in the edit, don't worry. Industry news. Cyber insurance, a must-have for small businesses. Industry news.
Regulator halts AI chatbot over GDPR concerns. Industry
news. UK politicians' email hacked by suspected Russian threat actors. Industry
news. New info stealer discovered as Russia prepares for fresh offensive. Industry news.
Trio arrested in COVID PPE fraud probe. Industry
news. US and UK sanction 7 Russian cyber criminals. Industry
news. And that was this week's industry news. Huge if true. Absolutely. I gotta say, that is the coolest name for a metal engineering firm. Vesuvius.
So, you know the drugs lab busted after encrypted chat app takedown? Yes. Just shows how end-to-end encryption is overrated and they could have used Twitter and be safer.
Only because Twitter wouldn't be able to respond to a search request in time.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with security. It's the fact they've got no one that knows how to... we know the info's there. We just don't know how to serve it.
Yeah, Dave had the password.
The DBAs. Yeah, exactly. Select all from star. Yeah. Select star from all. So I'm looking at this story about the Stalkerware developer hit with $400,000 fine. It's actually a consortium of 16 companies owned by one person. And he produced various snooping apps like Auto Forward, Easy Spy, DDI Utilities, Heister Mobile, Phone Spectre, ShorePoint, and Turbo Spy. And I'm pretty sure that when you Google these, you see lots of comparison sites saying, you know, which one's better than the other. But obviously, it's all owned by the same person, so he doesn't care who which one you buy, he still gets money for it.
It's all the same engine underneath with a different colour scheme and UI.
Yeah, so these are the apps that enabled people to secretly monitor activities and other devices. Call logs, text messages, photos, location. And obviously, his defence was obviously it required people to, agree to install it. But,
really?
That old classic.
Old chestnut.
Yeah.
Right, which politician's email was hacked? I'm actually going to click on a link here.
It was a Scottish politician.
Oh, yes. Stuart MacDonald. Well, it couldn't be anything other than a Scottish.
Yeah.
Scottish National Party.
So apparently he received an email from a colleague. So they spoofed one of his colleagues' email addresses and said, here's a document you requested on Ukraine or something, because he was... asking about the military situation in Ukraine. So he clicked on the Word document. It took him to a website that says, enter your credentials here. He entered his credentials and then he was presented with a blank page. So he thought, next time I see my colleague, I'll ask him. So a few days later, he went and asked his colleague. He's like, I did not, I can't even remember sending you a document, mate. And so that's how they found out that his email has been compromised. So, oopsie. 2FA folks, security awareness training,
I mean, it could have been...
defense.
If it was Nadine Dorries...
Some notification on, new logons from unknown devices or locations. Yeah.
If it was Nadine Dorries, all they'd have to do is just, ask her for a password and she would have just shouted into the office, what's my password? And, it'd been really easy. Although she's leaving politics, she's standing down as an MP.
Thankfully, no one's going to miss her.
Yeah. They never leave politics, though, isn't it? She's probably going to go be a presenter.
She's going to go on I'm a Celeb, get me out of here or something. Yeah. Like that other unpleasant man who was on there recently. Not that I know, because I never watched it. So more sanctions of more Russian cyber criminals. That's what we like to hear.
This reminds me from from that scene from Team America World Police where Hans Blix goes to Korea and he's like, you know, you will show, I'm from the UN and, you know, you will show us your nuclear weapons. And he goes, what if I refuse? He goes, then we will go back and send you a sternly worded letter about how you, yes, you have not allowed us access. And this is it. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, you sanctioned some cyber criminals in Russia. Well, good luck.
I guess the point is that they would find it harder to move money around, isn't that? You know, they're sort of closing down.
So they've had their US and UK assets frozen and they're banned from traveling to those two countries. But yeah, these are the people that ran the TrickBot malware gang.
Coordinated action between the FBI and Europol. Very good. Right. Well, I think we've thrashed everything of any interest in all of that. That was this week's
industry news. This is the EasyJet of security podcasts. Let's be honest, your cheap ass couldn't tell the difference between us and a premium security podcast anyway.
Right, Andy, let's take us home, shall we?
Tweet of the week.
We always play that one twice.
Tweet of the week.
And this week's tweet is from Carl Czar, and it is a tweet, and it has the Chinese... Is he a prime minister?
I thought it was Winnie the Pooh.
No, I don't know what his position is. Supreme leader of China, of the Democratic People's Republic of China. And it's a picture of him and it's a meme and it says, China starting to worry TikTok has made Americans even dumber than they intended.
Is it a meme or is it a headline? I mean, it's hard to tell.
Well, it is hard to tell because it's an image, yeah. So it could, I mean, yeah, even they couldn't have predicted some of this.
And the words themselves are actually very true. So, I mean,
it's really funny. On that thread, I think Kim.com has tweeted something saying US facing massive shortage of conspiracy theories if all of them have come true.
Oh, I bet you two are pleased that TikTok is making the Americans dumber than they intended, because at least as British people using TikTok, that would never happen to you two. Judging on the timestamps that you send out some of these TikToks.
Do you know what? I mean, some of these, you don't see the half of it. Me and Jav have a whole message thread that goes on.
You've got a message thread without me?
On TikTok?
Yeah, through TikTok.
Okay, that's all right then.
Yeah, so it's much quicker to just send. No, we send. No, that's a separate WhatsApp group we've got. That's when we're actually slagging you off. But this one is like just where we're sharing TikToks and talking about wrestling.
Why do you need a separate WhatsApp group to slag me off when you do it anyway?
Oh, because we have to, like, the stuff that we say to you, we actually pre-prepare and we say, no, that's not cutting enough.
Right.
You know, it needs to zing a bit more. It's like,
I get it.
Yeah,
do you know
exactly
what? That makes me feel a lot better. I feel like I'm getting quality slagging off in that case.
It's not.
That does make me feel better. It really makes me feel like you care.
Care about this.
Yeah, exactly. You care.
We really want to insult you. We don't want to just, like, you know.
I'm really quite touched. It's... Oh dear. Well, perhaps I'll have to take down those posts about you two now. Anyway, that was this week's
Tweet of the Week.
And we are here at the end of the show already. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for this week. It's been another good one. I think our listenership will agree, won't you? Please contact us. Let us know how much you agree. Like and subscribe. Leave us a comment. We could do with some more comments, I think, some more positive feedback. You know, I think our key sponsors need to know how much you love us all. But, do. So, Jav, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah. Well, I learned one thing today about the power move that the chess player, you said, like, you turn up late. Yeah, that's going to be me next week.
I think most chess players have learnt that power move from you generally. Anyway, and Andy, thank you, sir.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashingsecurity.
Yeah, so I might not be able to make next week's show.
What? Why not? Oh, it's half term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just no commitment to the cause anymore. I feel like you're waning, Jeff.
Still, at least listenership will go up.
So if you actually take off the saying that Jav can't make next week's show, put that at the very beginning of the podcast, because then, you know, as soon as people start listening, they'll be like, oh, okay, cool, we don't need to, you know, we can tune in next week. We don't need to finish this episode. We'll just like, jump straight to next week.
The power of editing.
Yeah. Quote, unquote, editing. All you do is remove a few...
Air quotes, editing. Yeah.
Don't think I mean, I could leave you to do the editing. It just ends up a little bit...